God bless you. Amen. You may be seated. To all of you that have joined us in-house on this Memorial Day weekend, this Memorial Day Sunday, thank you so much. You are a beautiful sight to see. And can I tell you, one of the things that I have missed and I just really embraced this morning was hearing the church sing. I love it when I can hear you guys sing. And the little guys back behind me, you guys were just rocking the house, all right? Awesome. They were just singing and lifting up the name of Jesus, and all of you were. And so it is just so grateful to see you. I didn't say this last week. You may hear him every once in a little while. I got a new grandson with me today, and he was with me last week, and a little baby Maverick. And so, Lauren and Maverick, can you hold him up there real quick for us? I know it might be a little hardest for us to see. Look at that little guy. All right. For those of you online on Facebook and YouTube, I know you missed out in that moment right there, but we are so grateful for our family and for all of our grandbabies now that are part of our lives. And so Alec and Maverick just are super special to us. You guys, love you so much. Every one of you out there online, we love you so much. Can't wait to see everybody in person. On this Memorial Day Sunday, can I say thank you to all of our veterans? Will you join me in saying thank you to every one of our veterans? Guys, we love you, men and women. Matter of fact, if you don't mind, I know not everyone's able to, but if you're able to stand with us, would you please stand? And for those that maybe are in a wheelchair, if you can maybe have those that are with you stand beside you. Guys, would you look around and just show your appreciation to all of our veterans? Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for your service. And again, I'd like to speak to everybody that's online that is a veteran that is watching. We thank you for your service. We thank you for all that you have given in serving our country, and to all the men and women out there. You are our heroes in a lot of ways. And for all those that are serving now, those that are overseas, we have family members, church family that are serving. And we just continue to pray for them, that God's hand is upon them. And we pray for our nation as he leads us through these days. Well, church family, if you would, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out. You can go back with me to James, and I want to pick up where I left off last week. Wasn't sure how we would flow through James, but I want to go ahead and pick up. Matter of fact, I think I ended in verse 12. I'm going to begin by reading verse 12 and reading on to verse number 27 this week, and we'll go there here in just a moment. The title of our series is Coming Back Stronger. We know that this letter was written by James, and it was written to a church that was going through very trying times. They had been scattered. They were being persecuted. They were being driven from their homes. They were driven from their businesses. They are emotionally just overwhelmed from being new in the faith, from those trying to pull them back away from that, back into a legalistic style of religion. They were struggling with where to go and what to do. And, of course, those just persecuting him and telling him it was all a hoax, in a sense, trying to get him to be worldly in all of their ways, trying to place fear into their lives, trying to get him just to pull back. Emotionally, their hearts, their minds, they're dealing with a lot. Physically, they're dealing with a lot. Taken from their homes, driven long distances throughout the region, having to find a new home, a new place to kind of sort of rebuild and do whatever it was they were going to do during this time. So physically, there's just, you know, there's a struggle that's happening. We know that emotionally, we know that financially, there's just an incredible struggle. So again, much like I said last week, I know their circumstance looks quite a bit different than ours. And can I even say theirs was pretty intense. And this 10 weeks has been, it's been different and it's been unique. And at moments, it's been intense. This church is going through a lot during this time in which this letter was being written to them. So James writes to them under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He gives some incredible instruction right out the gate. He calls them out because I believe his letter is a letter that God is using to call them out, to help them to rise up in their faith and rise up in their fervor and rise up in who they are and as they serve God and as they walk in their new relationship with Christ. And so for them, they haven't been in the faith very long, but he's calling them to be stronger than they've ever been before if they were going to be able to navigate the waters that they were going in. Now, we know the story, and we know that the devil always overplays his hand. Always. I mean, he thinks he's got us out. He thinks he's got us in a place where we're going to be defeated, but yet God always counteracts that. And so as they were being scattered, the church was growing. As they were being scattered, the gospel was being preached. And much like today, I believe the church is growing. I know just in our online presence, we have seen so many more people come connected with our church. And I'm grateful for what God is doing, because I don't know, you know, all the hows and the whys and how to explain everything that's happening, but I know God is working during this season. And he's calling out the church for us to rise up and be who we are in him. Amen? And so that's kind of how we came out the gate last week as we laid the foundation for the series. Of course, we talked about, we made reference to the Mrs. Pastor's words that she spoke a few weeks ago when she said, out of our adversity comes growth. And you really hear that in James's letter as he spoke to them. And he talked about how, you know, don't let the trials take you out. Don't let the trials keep you down. Don't let the adversities of life be something that destroys you, but let the adversities of life be something that help you come out of this being stronger and developed in your faith, being more mature in who you are in Christ. Well, we're going to continue on with his letter. Go with me, verse number 12, and let's read through down to verse number 27. So he says, remember, he's been talking about coming out of these trials and how we're all going to have them. He says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. That's important. Testing, the trials, the adversity, and the temptations of life in which we face. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires, they give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So do not be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, we have become his prized possession. Now understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives. Humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and you do not obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and do not forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious, but you don't control your tongue, you don't control your spoken words, you are fooling yourself, and your religion, your faith, your belief, what you're sharing with others, it's worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God and the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Now, church, you have got to love James. If we're going to rise up, if we're going to be stronger, then, hey, let's not beat around the bush. Let's talk about overcoming those trials and those adversities of life and all those things that hit us externally. But hey, as we do that, let's not forget to deal with all the stuff that's happening internal in our lives. So he talks about those trials. He talks about those adversities. But he adds to that, but those temptations that we are slammed with every single day, and not just temptations that have not grown into sin, but also the temptation that you have acted upon and you've allowed to become sin in your life. So again, last week, don't let the trials take you out. Instead, embrace them, become stronger. This week, as you continue to walk in that season of adversity, don't give in to the temptations that are trying to lure you away from who you are in Christ. Don't allow the temptations of this world to cause you to pull back into a life that you once lived. Don't cause them to pull you back into a life that is not you at all, but you stand true in the word that's been placed inside of your life. Now, when you think about seasons of adversity, you think about all the several weeks that you and I have been walking through. What greater time to be tempted than when we are at our most vulnerable point, when we are weak? Because I know during this season, there have been those moments. I'm not talking all the time because we, again, so many good moments, so many good stories, so many great testimonies, so much reevaluation of priorities and what you're doing in life and the direction you're headed in. But in this season, there have been those moments when we have been vulnerable. So what better time when we're tired or maybe frustrated or fearful or isolated or lonely or idle or just, again, feeling stuck? What better time for Satan to come and tempt us, to lure us away from what we know is the truth of Christ inside of our lives? Now, as much as I never, ever like to give any credit towards Satan's way, I know he's at work. I know he is a roaring lion. I know he's looking for those to devour. I know he's after the Christian's faith. He may not be able to take your salvation, but he's going to do everything possible to get as close as he can. To steal your faith, to steal your purpose, to steal your joy, to steal your boldness, to steal your courage, to steal who you are, your smile, your laughter, just your relationship that you have with Christ. He's going to work on us, and I believe in this time, he's probably been working on all of us. Here's kind of how I see his plan. He wants to cast doubt before us, draw us away by any means or any measure. Sometimes we can recognize it because it's just so foolish. And we can recognize it, but other times it's kind of like the Garden of Eden. Because how many of you know that in that moment when we read the scripture, it was pretty enticing, the way in which he presented himself to Eve and how sin entered into the world. And sometimes we just don't understand that. So we know he's going to try to draw us away by any means. He's going to want to take full advantage of our weaknesses and any vulnerability that we have displayed. He's going to work the fear factor from every single angle. He's going to nurture anger within and also cause that anger to be something that's in our relationships among us. He's going to cultivate emotions that will cause us to speak out quickly, to speak out with harsh words. And ultimately, what his plan is, I believe, is to divide our hearts and even divide our relationships within our homes, but even then divide the believers themselves. He will do anything possible to weaken the move and the momentum of the church. You as an individual, and us collectively. So again, I go back to the word of God here, and I'm so thankful for James because he's not holding anything back because he's saying, hey, let's deal with these adversities. And a lot of times the Christians can rise up and say, oh yes, let's deal with those adversities. But also, let's deal with those own temptations that you've given into inside of your own life. Now, sometimes that causes us to back up a little bit because we're like, oh, we're going to get really personal really fast here because we're going to deal with all the things that's going on inside of our lives. Well, if you're going to rise up and you're going to be stronger in your faith, in your fervor, in your faithfulness, in your service, in your compassion to God, if you're really going to rise up, you know it's got to start inside of your own life, right? And then as you move forward, you're really going to grow just in a powerful way. So, James is saying you got to deal with the difficult things. The temptations of life are just as real as the trials of life. And church, we cannot dismiss temptation. And the culture we live today, it's not a popular word. There may be even those online, you understand this, you know this. You may not be a part of a church and you're watching and you're saying to yourself, oh, I don't even want to hear the sin word because it doesn't even sound relevant anymore because really nothing's sin, just do what you want to do. Can I tell you, we cannot dismiss temptation and we cannot dismiss temptation that has turned into sin, right? Because if sin is not real, what need would we have for the cross of Calvary? If sin and temptations were not real, what need would we have for Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to live within us? If sin were not real, why gather in church? Why sing our songs? Why pray out to God? Why cry out to Him? Why ask for guidance and leadership? Christianity is not just about, you know, getting blessed with things. Really, it's not about that at all. It's about being blessed in your soul and having a right relationship with God. Then along the way, you experience the abundance of who He is in life. Amen. So James is saying, okay, church, I know the trials are difficult. I know there's a lot of things coming at you. You're hearing a lot of voices. You're hearing a lot of people. You're hearing things within the church. You're hearing things outside the church. You're hearing things politically. You're hearing all kinds of stuff. Does that sound familiar? Speaking to us today, right? You're hearing this, but you got to be strong in your faith and don't allow these things to give way to sin in your life. Now, there are two truths I kind of want to hit on here this morning that I see. The first one is this, what James is talking to the church about. Spiritual endurance is a must to navigate through waves of temptation. We have to go back to last week in our verses, verse 3 and 4. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And the scripture said, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. In other words, you will be getting to that level of spiritual maturity where your faith is risen up to a very strong level. Now, you and I, the way that we understand endurance, it's strengthened faith within. By not only believing God will see you through, but also taking the necessary steps to walk in willful obedience as God directs and transform our life along the way. So it's not just believing, but it's also doing. And that's why I love James, because James' letter is about believing, but it's also about doing. It's that book of action. So he's saying you have to stay true to these things. Consider this. Last week I spoke of how God has been rescuing some of us during this season from many different things in life. One of the things that I mentioned was rescuing from ourselves. Maybe there are some of us here today in service. Maybe there are some that are online that are watching here. And you need to be rescued from the temptations that have been coming against you. You need to be rescued from those temptations that you've embraced and that you've allowed become sin. And now that sin is causing destruction and it's causing chaos and it's pulling you away from Christ and who you are. If that's you, can I tell you, the Lord wants to rescue you today. He wants to speak to you today. He wants to speak forgiveness and life and joy and purpose. He wants to pour into you today. So if that's you, if this season is taking you a different route than what God wanted to take you, then why not change direction today, right? Why not change direction? I would like to think that all of us have said, wow, I've woken up, I've been praying, I've been just really seeking God, and I feel like I've got my priorities straight, I'm feeling refreshed, and I'm making the best out of this moment. I'd like to think that's every single one, but I know that all of us have been attacked in some way, and there have been temptations that have tried to pull us away from who we are in Christ. Right? And so we got to deal with that. And of course, we know that those temptations, they come along with the trials of life. James makes that very clear. As I was preparing this week, one of the books that I'm reading right now, some of you may remember, his name is Doug Reed. He's a pastor, he's an author, he's a speaker. Perhaps maybe later in the year, I can reach out to him and he can come and be one of our guest speakers. Just a great friend, went on a missions trip with him. Dad Chuck, we went down to New Orleans with him. That was his group that took us there. And so just a great friend. He's written a great book just talking about, you know, your identity in Christ. And he wrote this, and it just jumped out at me, perfect for today, so let me share with you. He says in his book, ever wonder why your bad habits and evil desires follow you from place to place? Even changing the environment you live in fails to produce lasting behavioral results. When we deal with the external without addressing the internal, we are left with frustration. Why? Because you have not dealt with hidden issues of your own nature. And I thought, man, that is so true. And I believe that's what James here is speaking to the believers as well. I mean, I think this is hitting us, right? It's hitting us in a way that's helping us. Because if we're going to be stronger, we have to deal with everything in our lives. The good, the bad, and the ugly, right? When you work out and you want to be stronger, you can't just do what's easy. You know, I can do 10 push-ups. You can do 10 push-ups every day for the rest of your life and nothing change and nothing happened. But you got to do number 11. You got to do number 12. You got to do number 14 and 15. You got to wake up the next morning and you're sore. Why do we not want to work out? Because it hurts. Because you get up the next day and you can't move. Especially, you know, now that I'm getting, you know, way into midlife, you know, there are certain days I'm like, wow, this was hard to get out of bed. But I know that if I don't move and don't work out and don't run, it's going to be worse than what I'm feeling right now. But if you don't feel it, then nothing's happening. You got to push yourself. You got to push yourself. And it's the same way in our spiritual lives. So you got to be ready to go down deep within, because we all deal with temptation. We all deal with sin. We all deal with those things that try to be a bondage and bring us down. And even in a season such as this, yes, I believe this is one of those moments where Satan can try to wreak havoc in our lives, but we're not going to let him, because we're going to deal with everything. We're going to deal with everything. I look at what James is writing. I say, thank you, James, for the boldness and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you look within, you stop looking outward at everyone else's faults. When I'm reading this, now I don't know about you, when I'm reading the book of James, in these first few verses, I get this picture. There's so much frustration, so much anxiety, so much fear, so much worry, that not only have the people embraced that, but now Satan is using it against them, because they're struggling within, they're struggling with their faith, and now they start struggling with those close to him, and then they start struggling with one another, and it even sounds like the church is becoming real divisional on issues. Issues that they shouldn't be divided on. Issues that they shouldn't allow take them out or take them down. And I think the picture that I get in my mind, they were speaking harshly. We're not talking that they were speaking harshly to non-believers. They were speaking harshly to one another. They were speaking harshly to one another in their personal relationships. So their personal relationships were hurting. The church relationships were hurting. And so what you see happening in is havoc is starting to be wreaked by Satan, because they've allowed those things to now turn in to sin in their lives, where they're not dealing with it the way God would have them deal with it. One of the greatest temptations I believe that we have, including the church, during seasons of adversity, is to point the blame on others for the issues at hand, and perhaps for not making you feel good enough. And sometimes we even point the blame towards God. And that's kind of have what we see here taking place. And I had asked myself the question. I wrote it down here in my notes. Why is it so easy for us to cast blame on everyone else but ourselves? Because we can easily go there. All of us can. We don't want to be wrong. I wrote some answers here down. You don't want to be wrong. Well, we got the pride that we don't like to admit, but it's there. Sometimes it's just selfishness. Sometimes we're just stubborn. And sometimes we pride ourselves in that being stubborn. We don't want to look vulnerable. No one really, we don't like to look vulnerable. We don't like to look weak. We want to be strong people. Sometimes it's just easier to blame others than to point out your own faults. We don't want to say that. We wouldn't say it out loud, but you know that it's true because it's inside of us all. Sometimes it makes you feel better to yourself. It doesn't make anybody, if you didn't realize it, it doesn't make anybody else feel better about you. It just makes yourself feel better about yourself when you blame others. Sometimes it's just, and I think many times, it's just a lack of daily devotion. You'll see here in a minute why I say that. I think the Christians were having a lack of daily devotion here when James is writing to them, and he's calling them out to stand upon the truth. So their minds would be in the wrong place. So their words would be in the wrong place. Their attitude would be in the wrong place. You see, I believe, again, James is painting that picture where the believers, they're just speaking against one another with haste, a lack of wisdom, there's selfishness, there's frustration, and there's anger. And James clearly writes to us in this season of adversity, he says that behavior is not of God. Go back with me to verse 19. He said, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. He's very personal with this. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I can't tell you how many times I've read that and said, yeah, I better highlight that one. You know, 2 weeks later, better go back to that one I highlighted. I used yellow last time. I'm going to use blue this time. You know, 2 months later, well, I'm going to use my orange highlighter and I'm going to circle everything I've highlighted so I can make sure I look at that. Because it speaks to us. And even the laughter, what is that telling me? It speaks to us because we deal with it. Verse 20, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth. Notice how those two sentences just go back to back. They just go back to back. Human anger does not produce the righteous God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Rise up, James is saying. Pull it together. Live out your faith in the character of Christ. in His goodness, in His kindness, in His patience, in His mercy, in His grace, in His love, in His wisdom. Live out your words and your deeds in your life in the character of Christ. And don't just spout off all the time. And don't let your words be full of fear and anger and frustration, because your words is one of the most powerful things that you have in life. Do not let your words destroy your marriage. Don't let them destroy the relationship with your children. Don't let them destroy the relationship with other believers and friends and people that you work with. Let your words be full of truth. Now, nowhere in here does James suppress the words of the church. Nowhere in here does he take away our voice. Nowhere in here does he say, be silent. Nowhere in here does he say, don't be bold and don't be courageous. Because we have a voice. We have a word. We need to be bold and we need to be courageous. But we speak it with a truth that is based upon the anointing of the Holy Scripture. Because when we don't speak upon truth and we don't speak in the Scripture and we don't speak with a foundation where our minds and our hearts are built upon that, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. That's when we just start spouting off whatever we want to spout. Now, I literally wrote it down here because I know some would say this. Pastor, I just want you to know I'm wired that way. I just need you to know I speak what I want, when I want, and how I want. So what would your response be to that? I would say, I understand. I'm a good old country boy for many, many years, and I struggle in moments that I say inside of me, I speak when I want, how I want it, whatever I want to say. I've even used, I'm not even really old yet, right? I hope I'm not, but I'm 49, I can say what I want to say. I mean, I've watched you guys do it for years, I'm like, I can do it. All right, no, that's bad. I make sure you're listening. You're so good and kind, all right. What would you say to us that are wired that way? Well, I have to say what I said to myself. I got to do what James said earlier. And I got to ask God for help. Lord, I don't think I'm wired this way because you wired me. But somewhere along the way, I've messed it up. So I need you to rewire me. I need you to rewire my words. I need you to rewire my thinking. So you've given me a voice. You've given me boldness. You've given me courage. You've given me the ability to speak, but God, help me to speak it when I'm supposed to. Help me speak it in wisdom. Help me speak it in truth. Help me speak it in courage. And sometimes those words may be words that cause others to kind of say, whoa, I don't know about that. As long as they're based upon the truth of God and His word, you're standing in a good place. Amen. It was important here because what I see in the Scripture, you take it for however you want to. What I would present to you as your pastor, as I see it in Scripture, what I see is the church was struggling in this area of life. And so God uses James to call him out. He said, in your adversity, in your trials, in your temptations, don't let the external take you out, and don't let what goes on internal be something that destroys you as well. Make sure you're founded upon the word of Jesus Christ. So that leads us to our second truth I want to share with you. Spiritual endurance requires staying in the Word of God. Again, verse 21, get rid of the filth, get rid of the evil in your lives. Humbly accept the Word God has planted. What is the Word? That's the gospel of Jesus. That is Jesus. That's who He is. It's His Word. That's who we accept in our lives. That's what has the power to save our souls. And that save our souls is not talking about our initial salvation. That's talking about as we journey through life, as we face trials, as we face temptations, stand upon the word that's been placed inside of you. Speak that word. Know that word. Meditate upon that word, because that's what saves your souls. That's what guides you through this. Adversity and temptations, you know this. They have the ability to bring the worst out in all of us. But spiritual endurance, it's going to bring out the best. So we've got to choose in moments like we're going through. Reckless words, sinful behavior, or maturing faith and endurance that not only strengthens ourselves within, but it also strengthens those around us. I hope that's what we're doing. When you really look closely, I mean, if I could simplify it, again, James is just that book where you have to say, church, you know, less talking and more walking in Christ. But he says in verse 22, I take you back there, and we read it, but look at it closely. Don't just listen to God's word. Don't just hear it on Sunday and do nothing with it. Don't just read a weekly devotional and do nothing with it. In your own personal time, when you're going through Scripture, so good and so powerful, but make sure you meditate upon it. Do something with it. Notice the Scripture. It says you must do what it says, otherwise you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen and you don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what it looks like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, what does that mean? That means if you meditate upon it. Not just glance at it, but you look at it. Meditate upon it. Study it. Digest it. Understand it. Ask God for wisdom as you read it. If you will do that, it's going to set you free. And if you do what it says and you don't forget, then God's going to bless you for doing that. Again, one of my favorite authors this week, he sends out a weekly devotional. Pastors in D.C., Mark Batterson, many of you know him. In his weekly devotional, it went right along with this, so I'll use this as well. It said this, mirrors come in all sizes and shapes. Sometimes it's a prophet who helps us see the blind spot in our lives. Sometimes it's an epiphany that pulls back the veil and reveals the glory of God in new ways. But the greatest mirror, the mirror that gives us the truest reflection of ourselves, is Scripture. He goes on to say the best form of self-examination is simply reading the Scripture. And it wasn't, he goes on to even talk about how the Bible is not just meant to be read, it's meant to be meditated upon. Like David, many times in his Psalms, meditating upon the Word of God. That's how you clearly see yourself. You see, the more you look in the mirror, the clearer the picture you get of yourself. The more you meditate on the Word of God, the clearer image you get of your life in Christ. And that's what we want to do. You see, the Scripture is God's gift to you and I that confirms he doesn't expect us to go at it alone in dealing with our adversities and our temptations, but he gives us the guidance through the truth of his word. And wow, that's where I want to be, amen? Now, before I pray with you and before we kind of close out this together, I want you to see one more thing here. Did you see the promise? It was there, I read it. When you stay in the word and you live by the word, what did it say? God's going to bless you for that. Now, I live for God because of who he is and what he's done for my life, but I'm certainly grateful for his blessings. And anytime he wants to send a blessing our way, how many of you know I want to stand and receive that? Amen? Because that's who he is. That he's our Father, right? Our Father God, giving us Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. I have no doubt in my mind, being a father now, being a grandfather, I have no doubt in my mind. My understanding is very, very limited, but I have no doubt in my mind that God loves to see you smile, and God loves to see you walking in abundance, and God loves to see you blessed. He wants you to see at peace. He wants you to see a joy. I can tell you with these grandbabies, I just want to see them be happy. I've already messed up. I've already spoiled them, because when they cry, I pick them up, because they want to walk around. Mamas are telling me, let them lay down, let them cry, you're going to spoil them, or they're going to want somebody to hold them all the time. I'm like, I just can't. I'm going to go hold them, you know what I mean? And I'll just be walking around with them because I want to see them happy, and I want to see my kids happy, my family. I got to go yesterday with my family and spend time with my grandpa. I've been telling you, he's 95 for the last 5 years. He's finally reaching it this year. He's going to be 95 this year in July. Got to spend time with him. Loved it. Loved to see the smile. Loved to see my family just blessed. You are too. Don't you know that's what God wants for us? So in adversity and trials and temptations, he doesn't call us out in the way and say, get out of the way. I don't want anything to do with you. He says, come on, get back to who you're supposed to be. Rise up, learn, be stronger, walk in the truth of my word. And as you do, you will experience the blessings that I have for you in your life. Man, that's a great, great promise that he gives us. So much power in the word. I tried to limit it down to just a couple, but there are so many scriptures that speak so much life. I'll share just a few. Psalm 19. I love Psalm 19. It's kind of like a mini version of Psalm 119, you know, because it just kind of puts it all there pretty quickly. But it tells us it revives our soul. It makes wise the simple. I'm a simple individual, so I need the word of God to guide me. It gives insight for living. Psalms 33, the word of the Lord holds true. We can trust in everything he does. Psalms 119, getting into that chapter, joyful, happy, blessed are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Verse 49 and 50, it says, it is my hope, it revives me, it comforts me in all of my troubles. 105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet, a light for my path. You get into the New Testament, Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and they put it into practice. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, you have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, which he promised long ago. He identifies you through that word that is in your life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the message about Christ in all its richness, let it fill your lives. Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It reaches down into the very innermost part of who we are. 1 John chapter 2, I'll leave you with this one. Verse 14 says, I've written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I've written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I've written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts and you have won the battle with the evil one. So many scriptures talk about the power of God and his word inside of our lives. I pray this morning that as you come back stronger, not only do you gain in that endurance, but you are doing so by standing in the truth of his word. Now, church, I feel it's important for me to say this. Coming back stronger is not simply about reopening the church and overcoming the coronavirus. Coming back stronger is about being more like Christ than ever before, about our faith, our love, our compassion being stronger than ever before, about our minds and our compassion for the lost being saved to be stronger than it ever has been before, for our engagement with worship, our engagement with the word, our engagement with service, our engagement with our church to be stronger than ever before, not busier, because I don't want to come back busier. I want to come back productive. I want to come back fruitful. I want to come back stronger than ever before, not busier than ever before, but balanced and God leading us every step of the way, amen? It's about coming back stronger in who you are in Christ. May all of us rise up, accept the word that God has given us, and may we rise up. Everyone here today in this sanctuary, God wants to minister to you. Our team is coming. They're going to sing just a beautiful, beautiful song, and they're going to sing it over you. It talks about the blessings of God. I want to walk in his blessings. We do every day, every single day we walk in his blessings. The blessings we see, the blessings we cannot see. His hand is upon us. But as we rise up stronger, as we endure, as we stand upon his word, may you encounter the blessings of God. For everybody online, for everybody on Facebook or YouTube, you're watching it right now, or maybe you're watching it a little bit later on, I pray that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your life and you'll call out to the Lord. Jesus will be your Lord and Savior, and that you'll know that he wants to help you rise up and live your best life possible. I pray that for all of us, amen. I want to pray specifically for each and every one of you right now. Father, I thank you, God, for my church family. Those here with us in person means so much, and those watching, I pray, Father Lord, over every heart and every mind that every single day you continue to pour into their lives and you build them and you strengthen them and you renew them. I pray that spiritually they are just coming alive, that the knowledge and the wisdom of God is just overflowing in their hearts, and that begins to overflow, God, in their words and in their actions towards those around them. I pray, Father, Lord God, that as we rise up with just the power of God within us, that we see your blessing, God, being poured out upon our spiritual lives, our understanding, our growth, our endurance, our faith, our prayers, our fruitfulness. I pray, Father, Lord God, the blessings over their physical lives. I see the testimony like my brother Mike here on the front row, God. What a testimony his life is to the power of your healing touch. I pray that over all of my brothers and sisters, heal their bodies, heal their minds, Heal them emotionally, mentally, God. Those with physical ailments, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will heal their bodies, for we believe that it is by your stripes we are healed. In the name of Jesus, your healing power be at work. Financially, Father, Lord, we are in uncertain times. Some are doing incredibly well. Many others are facing some really tough decisions. So I pray specifically over my church family here in this sanctuary and those abroad. I pray in the name of Jesus financially that the blessings of God will be there to provide. That, Father, Lord, not in greed, but I pray that, Father, they would walk just with humility and in the abundance of who you are in providing, God, over their homes, their businesses. Father, I pray over my church family. I know that you care about every part of our being. You made us and you wired us in who we are. So I pray your blessing. As we deal, Father, Lord, with adversity, as we deal with temptation, as we deal with the hard things of life, and as we place our trust in you, may we feel your presence all along the way and walk in the blessings that you have before us. You're so good, God. I pray life, I pray salvation, I pray forgiveness, peace, purpose, your blessing in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, I feel like I need to do this. And it's here in the sanctuary. And I hope those in the sanctuary, you know that I'm speaking to you, but I also want to speak to the many, many that are watching, because we were a little, honestly, just surprised and so grateful for those that are tuning in with us. I mean, it's awesome to see what God is doing. I want to lead in a sinner's prayer because I believe there is salvation out there today. Could be here in the sanctuary, and it could be somebody watching from their own living room. And I really feel in my spirit I need to lead us in that prayer. If you're here in the sanctuary and you're going to say that prayer with me, then I want you to just pray with all your heart, because I want you to know that the Lord wants to turn things around for you today. So would you, church family, say this prayer with me? For those that may be saying it for the first time, we're going to be an encouragement to them. Would you bow your heads? Lord Jesus, I believe and I ask you to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Forgive me of all my sin and help me each day to walk with you, to grow in you. Thank you, Jesus, for accepting me, for loving me, and for saving me. For I know that I am a child of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we praise him right now and thank him for that? Amen. Amen. Amen.